Now I've entitled my sermon, A Wife with Strife. Okay? And let's see what we can pick out from God's Word. A Wife with Strife. It is very interesting, friends, that our TVs, our televisions at home and in our homes need to be so carefully monitored and controlled, both for adults and children. Sometimes we think that the television needs to be controlled only for children, but it needs to be controlled both for adults and children. And it is especially so when one wants to sit down and watch a movie. You'll discover that on the top right-hand corner of your television screen, there will appear these symbols, SVLP. Have you noticed the abbreviation that is most prominent appears first? You will know beforehand whether the movie is going to be with a lot of strong language, sex, violence, or politics by the order in which it appears. So if you have L first on your screen, that means that there are a lot of strong language. If you have S, that's as an abbreviation, first on the screen, that means it is with a lot of sex and all kinds of things. So you got to decide whether you want to keep your eyes pure for the Lord and decide whether you want to have the TV on or off. Okay? Now, the thing is, how does this apply to judges, for goodness sake? Well, if Judges 13 through to 16 was screened today, it will have the following warning. VSDP. Violence, sex, death, and power. That's what the episode is all about in terms of Samson. Okay? And so, very prominent in this story is violence. And then there's, you know, the story with Delilah, sex. And then there is death. And there's power. So today we are introduced not to a baby being born, but a young man raised in a godly home. Last week we looked at a baby being born in a godly home. Today we're going to look at a young man. And seeing that four young men have been confirmed, we need to understand. I'm not sure if Samson was about the same age as these young men here. Maybe a little bit older. But here he was. And guess what? The Bible says, in chapter 13, verse 24 and 25, perhaps we need to read that. The woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. He grew and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he was in Mahane Dan between Zorah and Eshtahol. So the Bible says, commences and begins with, the young man grew and the Lord blessed him. Isn't that wonderful? Clearly, the Lord's blessing was upon Samson. And what a way to be introduced. A young man fully blessed in the Lord. What a wonderful start to his life. Not only was he blessed, the Bible tells us God's Spirit was stirring and working in his heart and life. Verse 25. But sadly though, it doesn't stay this way for too long. And that's why there's a warning to the four young men that have been confirmed. It doesn't mean that you've been confirmed and you've confessed your sins, or you confessed before the congregation that you are now a Christian, that you are not going to be tempted. In fact, the devil is going to be after you right from this day onward. Not as if he wasn't after you before that. But all the more so because you have publicly declared your faith. And so, we see here, it doesn't stay for long with Samson. It starts well, but it ends in disaster. And the recipe for disaster started in chapter 14 and verse 1. Let's read that. What does it say? Samson went down to Timnah and saw there a young Philistine woman. Whoa! What is wrong with that? Well, there's nothing wrong with seeing a young Philistine woman. Nothing wrong with that. God gave us eyes, and God gave us eyes to look on beauty. And if she's beautiful, we must admire beauty. But there's a problem. There's a problem here in that. And I want you to listen to me very, very carefully. I want you to listen to what the Bible is not saying. You see, the Bible is not against interracial marriages. But the Bible is against interfaith marriages. Do you get the difference? And it saddens me, and it definitely saddens the Lord, when so-called Christians who grow up in a godly home have the Bible at their disposal and have learned from a very early age the scriptures and the teachings that they've been brought up with, suddenly make decisions that are not biblical. And I'm sure his parents told him of his miraculous birth. Can you believe that? Here was Samson. His birth was not ordinary. His birth was miraculous because God intervened. His mother and father couldn't have children. She was infertile. She couldn't have children. She was barren. And an angel visited and said, "You're going to have a son." And so Samson is a miracle baby. And he should have known that. And I'm sure his parent explained to him that he was set apart by God from the womb to be a Nazarite till he dies. And as long as he obeyed the Lord, he would be blessed. That's why chapter 13 and verse 24 tells us he grew and the Lord blessed him. See, Samson's life indeed was meant to be a blessing. But sadly, it takes a turn in the wrong direction. It begins very subtly. And this is where young people need to be careful. It doesn't happen all of a sudden. It's a little at a time. Creeps in very, very subtly. Samson is attracted to a woman. Nothing wrong, as I said earlier on, with a young man being attracted to a young woman. He's probably of that age. He's seeing a beautiful girl, and he's attracted to her. And you will notice his attraction turns to a definite plan for marriage. I'd like to get married to that girl. How many of us, when we were growing up, saw this young, beautiful girl and said, "I'd like to get married to this girl. She's so lovely. She's so beautiful." But it doesn't end up that way. Now, in Eastern culture, when a young man is attracted to a young woman, the young men go to their parents to ask them to go to the girl's parents to seek their hand in marriage. This is, we're talking about Eastern culture here, and this is what they're doing. This is what Samson's parents are doing. He says to his parents, he's being respectful, and he's saying, "Mom and Dad, I want you to please, you know, I saw this girl. Go there and put a word for me." Oh, you know how they say it? Put a word. But he said, "Please go and ask the parents." And so The wedding plans begin in earnest. And in some ways, we have lost some good values in culture, brothers and sisters. But it's slowly being brought back. A case in point is, you know, when my daughter arranged a meet and greet sometime last year to meet with the boys' family. Now, I've got two daughters, and one is already married, and the second one is getting married, and full of ideas. And so she arranged a meet and greet with the boys' family. It was great. It was wonderful to meet the family. And at that table, as we sat together, converted our lounge into a little restaurant, they announced the wedding date. Isn't that sweet? They announced the wedding date. Kept it a secret for such a long time. They met and then they announced it. And this time around, the boy's family, this time, takes the initiative in inviting the girl's family for a meet and greet before the wedding. I think it's cool. Don't you think so? You're looking surprised. Okay, that's Eastern culture. That's great. There's certain things in culture that is cool, that is good, that is okay. Now, in Samson's case, there is clearly a sign that when Samson approached his parents about his plans to marry, they disapproved. Have a look at verse 3. And verse 3 tells us, his father and mother replied, "Isn't there an acceptable woman among your relatives or among all our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife?" Now, friends, it is very important to listen to your parents' advice when they show disapproval, especially if they have your best interest at heart. My late wife and I had to guide our daughters in their decision making. And we did not decide for them. I want to make that point. You don't make decisions for your children. They make the decisions. And if they make the wrong decision, they live with it. I remember as I was growing up as a young man, my pastor at that stage and his wife told me, "If you make your bed, you lie in it." Okay? And so, here it is. This disapproval from the parents. And so we would basically sit our children down and say to them, you know, in as much as a boy look handsome, got a flashy car, and he puts his wallet in such a way that it sticks out and shows like he's got a lot of money in his wallet. I said, we had to guide them. And you know, we had our fair share of objections, and especially by my intuitive wife. She was very quick in picking up things. So we as parents can see that young people, what young people cannot see. And what has taught us that? Well, life experience. Life experience teaches us to see what our children can't see. And thankfully, our daughters heeded our advice. Samson did not heed the advice of his parents. His parents knew that uncircumcised Philistine woman would lead their son into idolatry. They had the power of persuasion to persist in things that the man often gives into. Why? Because he becomes tired of listening to the same thing day in and day out. Now have a look at verses 15 through to 18 and you will see what I mean. On the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife, coax your husband into explaining the riddle for us, or we will burn you and your father's household to death. Did you invite us here to rob us? Then Samson's wife threw herself on him, sobbing, you hate me. You don't really love me. You've given my people a riddle, but you haven't told me the answer. Samson said, I haven't even explained it to my father or mother. So why should I explain it to you? So she cried the whole 7 days of the feast. The whole 7 days of the feast, this girl simply cried. You know, Proverbs speaks about a nagging wife. Notice Samson reprimands his parents by telling them, what do you know? What do you know? He's telling his parents this. And yet, they are seasoned parents. They have life experience. They know when they see what is good and what is bad. And listen to what he says in verse 3b. She may not be right in your eyes, but she is right in my eyes. What is Samson saying? I don't care what you think. As long as she's good for me. And at this point, Samson is ignoring God's word for his life. And interfaith marriages, brothers and sisters, is an abomination in God's eyes. And obviously, the parents were grieved. But they had to respect their son's wish. Now the question is, why did they do such a thing? I mean, as parents, we can so easily judge them by saying, aren't they compromising the faith by listening to their son? Shouldn't they have nothing to do with his request? I would. Some of you would. But wait a minute. Let's read on. Have a look at verse 4. And verse 4 changes things. Listen to this. Verse 4 says this. His parents did not know that this was from the Lord, who was seeking an occasion to confront the Philistines. For at that time, they were ruling over Israel. Now surely, that changes things. The Lord was in control, and he was using Samson's disobedience for a greater purpose and God's greater glory. That is not to say that the Lord is approving such a marriage or that he is approving Samson's disobedient heart. No. This is what we call God's permissive will. God is allowing it to happen so that it would be the beginning of his rescue mission from the hand of the Philistines. And the same thing happened when God was going to rescue Israel from bondage under Egyptian rule. Two statements. Pharaoh hardened his own heart. And then the Bible says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. See, the only difference in this case is that Samson hardened his own heart even though he knew the Lord. And I remember a father, friends, who knew the Lord and was very involved in practical ministry. I mean, he showed commitment to all the services. He came to the Bible studies and special meetings. Committed. Available. Punctual. Then his son died. And everything changed from that point on. He hardened his heart against God. And his life took a wrong turn with disastrous consequences. And this is a true story. Samson deviated from everything that his parents taught him. And as he traveled with his parents, we are told that they were walking through a vine. And he somehow slipped into the vine, and his mother and father were busy in conversation. You know how couples are sometimes, they'll just talk, and they're engrossed in their own conversation. And the son, he's old enough, he needs walking, and he just slips and he gets into the vine there, and they don't see him. But they believe that he's following. And he confronts a lion. He sees a lion. And his sheer strength is displayed when he kills a lion by ripping it apart with his bare hands. Now have a look at verses 5 to 7 there. Verses 5 to 7. Samson went down to Timnah together with his father and mother. As they approached the vineyards of Timnah, suddenly a young lion came roaring toward him. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands as he might have torn a young goat. But he told neither his father nor his mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and he liked her. So the proposal, as you would see now, is over. They went down, they met and they greeted. And now the marriage was about to happen. So Samson makes a trip to claim his wife. This is the second time around now. They're going back. They're traveling on the same route. And he found the lion that he had killed. Its carcass was there. And remember what was in the carcass. Remember, it was basically in the form of decomposition at this point in time. We don't know how long. And inside the carcass was a swarm of bees humming. And obviously they kind of, you know, there was a honeycomb that was formed there. And what did Samson do? He went into the carcass and he scooped some honey. And he started eating it on the way. And he went and he gave some to his mother and father, who didn't know what had happened. Notice how he breaks his vow. You've taken a vow, young people, this morning. So easy to break that vow when nobody is looking. He broke the vow. He touches a carcass. The Nazarite vow says that you should touch nothing that is unclean, nothing that is dead. When you touch it, there are rituals. You've got to go and have a bath. You've got to cleanse yourself and got to go to the priest and ask for forgiveness. You've got to take a little dove or whatever it is and present it to the priest and tell the priest that you've sinned and you can cleanse from that. But you see, Samson didn't do that. He broke the first vow. And the vow prevented him from touching anything that is dead. And he eats what is unclean. He was not allowed to drink any wine or strong drinks. But have a look at verse 10. Verse 10 tells us that Samson had a party. And if you look at verse 10 there, you'll see it says, it doesn't say it straight out. Now, his father went down to see the woman. And Samson made a party or feast there, as was customary for bridegrooms. When he appeared, he was given 30 companions. So as it is, here he is meeting with these young men, and they were, and I want to tell you this, there were drinks that was flowing freely. And it wasn't just wine. It was strong drinks as well. Strong drink. So Samson was told not to touch any strong drinks. And here he was breaking another vow. He had a retinue of 30 men. Oh, 30 men. Now, I haven't been to a wedding, or I haven't conducted a wedding where I had 30 men as best men. Okay? Some people do that. But here he was given 30 men as a retinue. And his best man maybe the best of the best, I think, amongst the 30. His best man, in the end, who attended his wedding, who was supposed to attend to him, attended to his wife. Took his wife. Isn't that sad? We live in a world that is absolutely wicked. You think that the world in the ancient days were not wicked. They were wicked people. Sin is sin. Okay? And Samson's best man, supposed to be his best friend, supposed to be a man of integrity, probably in Samson's house, maybe in and out, probably knew his wife very, very fondly. Don't know what happened. Something happened. But you know, the commentators will tell you all kinds of things. And they will tell you that, look, the reason why Samson's wife was given to his best friend was because they had thought that after Samson being so angry with his wife for giving the solution to the riddle, which she then gave to the people, the men, that Samson would have hated her by now. And so they tell you that they gave the man over. Now, I don't know what the reason behind it, but what I'm saying is, brothers and sisters, you've got to be careful. We live in a wicked world. Why did all this happen? And let me tell you why it happened. It was Samson's pride. It was Samson's egotistical pride. And secondly, his anger. The man just couldn't control his anger. You know that men like that, you just can't control their anger? For every simple thing they get angry? Come on, wake up, man. Don't get angry. Have the Spirit of the Lord within you. Holy Spirit will guide you and direct you. Get angry, take a walk. We all get angry. But he couldn't control his anger. And his anger was devastating. Not only he had pride, not only did he have anger in his heart, but he had intolerance. His intolerance level was so high that it got him into trouble. It was Samson that engaged the men in a riddle. Look at this man. He goes and he asks them a riddle. And it backfired on him when these friends agreed to bet that they were not willing to honor. So, okay, we'll take a bet. You know, he says, I bet you. You know what he betted? 30 garments or something like that. The Bible tells you there. And I don't know whether he was thinking rightly then. He bets. Be careful of bets, people. We just come out of yesterday. Lots of betting took place. And some people must be crying now. They're holding their head and crying. Because they lost so much. See, that's gambling. And we think it's so innocent. You chase after money, it'll make you poor. And not only that, you will end up a beggar. Be careful. And so, yeah, he has a bet, and he gets into trouble with his wife. Now, instead of a wedding celebration, yeah, it's 7 days. The Eastern culture went, the wedding celebration went on for 7 days. And instead of celebrating, and instead of enjoying this time together, it was like a funeral service. This girl came every day, crying on his shoulder. Please tell me. She nagged him until he told her. And so clearly, when a marriage was not meant to be, it was not meant to be. Was the divine orchestration of the events behind the scenes? Was this one way in which God not only canceled a marriage that violated the Hebrew faith, but also found a way to deal with the Philistines? Have a look at 14:6. 14:6 says, the Spirit of the Lord rushed into Samson, came upon him in power. And you will see that again in 14:19, where God's Spirit rushed upon Samson. So God was definitely at work to bring about his divine purposes in dealing with the Philistines. And God uses, friends, sometimes our weaknesses to deal with his own eternal glory and purpose. So use Samson's weakness to bring about confrontation between two nations. And as we listen to the story, everyone acts out of their own ungodly character. And you got to come back to verse 4. And verse 4 is the key. God was dealing with Samson in his own way. And the Bible tells us his parents did not know that this was from the Lord, who was seeking the occasion to confront the Philistines, for at that time they were ruling over Israel. And I want to close by saying two things. That, friends, as Christians and as churches and as believers, we can so easily be absorbed into the culture of the day that compromises the gospel. And the gospel then becomes blurred in our minds. So instead of looking at what God's standard is for life and godliness, we embrace the culture of the day and its standards. And we justify it. We justify it. You know why? Because we're far away from God's word. We have allowed the little foxes to come in and to destroy the vine. We have allowed these little things to creep in. You see, the devil does not need a whole grip on you. He just needs a tiny foothold. If you give the devil a foothold, he will come in. Secondly, when we come to understand that God sets us apart, not just from birth, but from before the foundation of the world, then surely we ought to use whatever gifts God has given us for the benefit of the body of Christ. Because it is God who set us apart. And Samson did not use his gift for the benefit of God's glory and seeing the end results of Israel. He was using it for his own selfish reasons. And God dealt with him, as we shall see. Let us pray. Sovereign Lord, help us as parents that we may do the best for our children, not merely for academic achievements. We're too good at that. But more specifically, helping them spiritually to know the Lord intimately and personally. Oh God, we confess that it is tough to raise children. Therefore, we have you, Holy Spirit, to guide and help us to lead them in the right track. Oh God, we depend on you. Will you have mercy on us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.